Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're going to be mad when I tell you this for like at least a year, maybe a year and a half. And it's just been like kind of sitting there. So
is it a high yield savings?
No, it's
not. Oh, no.
It's just in like a Schwab account. Okay. So yes, that's right. That's just like, Barbara's going to be mad. This is not future rich approved.
Hello and welcome to Planish's podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is Certified Financial Planner. And I am here with my guest this morning, Blair. Hi, Blair.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining. Nice early Saturday morning here.
Gotta get up and get that money.
Get our finances going. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. So age, location, income, partner, not partner, that all that jazz.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Blair. I'm 37. I am single. I live in Brooklyn, New York. And I do not own a home. Actually, as of yesterday, I was laid off at the beginning of March, March 1st. And today is April 27th. So I've had like basically 2 months of not working and looking for a new job. I just accepted an offer yesterday. So my new income, the base pay will be $230K. There's a 30% bonus on that, which is the total is $69K, but it's actually paid out twice a year. So like divide that in half, it's about twice a year. And it's based on both company performance and individual performance. So obviously it's a bit variable, but that's like the, you know, target amount is 69K per year. And then I will have a 5% 401k match.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like
hopefully. And that starts right away, which I know some companies don't do.
Make you wait. So you can get in and you immediately start getting your match. Amazing. Yeah. Those are good questions to ask.
Yes.
Okay. Well, congratulations. That's exciting. And that's great income.
Cool. Yes.
I agree. What industry? We like to tell industry.
Oh, yes. I work in tech business development. So some people think of business development as sales. This is business development as in like partnerships for distribution or product partnerships, et cetera. So it's not like, I don't have like a sales commission or anything like that.
Got it. Okay. And you've always been in this area?
For the past like decade or so.
Very good. Okay. So normally what I ask people is, this is going to be new. So what your gross is, and then like, what are you bringing home after the 401k and health insurance? So we'll have to like ballpark it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think I actually have the insurance information. Give me one second.
Okay.
Most of it's paid though by the company. Like it's pretty limited. Oh. I think it's maybe $200 a month or something like that.
Oh, that's great. I would say though, so federally speaking, your top bracket, if you get the full bonus, you would be in the 35% bracket. You're gonna climb your way right up into the almost not quite the top, but you're right up there at the top of the brackets. That's obviously going to be your marginal, not your effective. So like that's the most you'll pay, but your average will be a bit lower than that. Well, maybe we assume 30 for Fed, and then you're going to have New York State tax, and then you're going to have city tax, and then you're going to have FICA on part of it, but you're not going to pay Social Security on all of it because your income is above the threshold. So that's a bit, that's good. I'm just trying to figure out how much we should use for your estimated tax so we can figure out about your take home.
Yeah.
Kind of like 40% towards tax and then. And this is going to be maybe a little aggressive, but I shouldn't be too far off because I think you're going to be around 30% federal. We're going to have some other additional taxes, and then you're going to have Social Security and for part of your income. And then you're going to have Medicare, which is 1.45. So do you want to use 40% as the approximate amount
Sure.
that you're
Yeah,
going
if
to
you want to
lose? And
approximate.
you'll, yeah, if we want to approximate.
Okay,
Yes.
yes. I found my
Are your
healthcare
health
costs.
insurance? Okay, what is your
Yeah.
healthcare cost?
It looks like it's, well, I haven't picked a plan yet, but it looks like it will be likely I'll be on this $47 bi-weekly contribution.
Okay, so
So
you're pretty close to what you said.
$47, yeah. And then there's like dental $6.
Okay.
And I have an option for an HSA.
Okay, so it's a high deductible plan.
It's actually not that high. It's pretty good
It's
insurance. It's not that high of a deductible.
oh, good.
Sorry, the one that I gave you, the enhanced plan, which was $47 biweekly. Annual deductible is 1750, so 1750 for
Okay.
in-network, and the out-of-pocket maximum is 4000. So that's actually pretty good compared to some other
One. Yeah. Okay. So
things.
then you can do the HSA. The HSA limit for this for 2024 is going to be 4,150. And then your limit for your 401k is going to be 23,000.
Oh, and actually, it looks like my company actually automatically makes a contribution to, so they automatically make a $750 contribution to the HSA
Oh, that's amazing.
per year.
That's great.
Yeah.
We love that.
And I'm thinking about getting LASIK this year, so I
Oh,
will.
that'll save on contact costs.
Yes. And would reduce my plastic, single-use plastic, which I also care about.
Know. I have daily contacts, and it's another thing.
I know, I
Well,
feel
see, as
guilty
you
about
see,
that.
I'm wearing glasses because I have like really
Well, good for
fancy
you.
eye
I never
makeup.
wear glasses, so
But
that's.
okay. Yeah, like see, I thought about it every time I go like to buy my contacts. I'm like, man, these are expensive.
Yeah.
Yes, and it is a lot of plastic. Totally agree. Okay, so why don't we use a ballpark of approximately 40% for all of your taxes? And we'll say that it isn't going to include the component that's going to be Social Security, and all of it is going to be on Medicare. So we might be a little under, we might be a little over, but I think if anything, we're like a little under. And also remember, it depends what they do with your bonuses is they're going to tax your base salary, the 230, and then the bonuses are going to feel like they're taxed more, right? Because they're going in on top and they haven't allocated for that. So bonuses always,
Yeah,
have you
sorry.
noticed
Can you
that?
actually explain that?
Yes.
Yes, I've
Okay.
always noticed it, but I don't really know why. So, and maybe
Okay. So
others
the reason,
have
yeah, there may be
the
others who
same issue.
don't get it. Okay. Have you seen like the tax bracket charts? I'm going to show this to you.
Been a
You know what I'm
while.
talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what they look like off
What
the
they
top of
look
my head.
like. I'm going to share my screen with you and I'm going to show you. We're going to go through tax brackets. Okay, here we go. So, in the middle of the three, so there's a lot of numbers here. I apologize. But we're looking at this one here in the middle where my cursor is on married individual. And so, see here. So, if we're talking about just your base salary, we're going to put you between the 191 and the 243 bracket, right? Which is like the 32% bracket. But the way it works is on that right column, the very far right column where it says zero. So the first $11,000 you make, you pay zero taxes. The dollar you make over that threshold, you're going to pay 12%, right? And then every time you go up a bracket, you pay more. So when we say that you're in the next bracket, we mean that that next dollar is going to be in a higher taxation.
Okay. So I guess what you're saying is the bonus puts me into the next bracket.
Correct. So yeah, if you look here at 230, right, you're pretty solidly, well, you've like, yeah, 40,000 of income that's going to be taxed at 32, but you get 69,000 on top of that. We are now solidly in the 35% bracket.
Got
But
it. Okay.
what payroll did is they set you up to pay taxes as if you're only making 230.
Gotcha.
So what the payroll companies do, because this wouldn't make any sense, because your first two paychecks, if they didn't take your average of what you're going to pay, your first two paychecks, you'd pay no tax, and your last paychecks of the year
Got
would
it. And
be
then it would
all
just income and
tax.
money get all.
Yeah, every paycheck would be like worse and worse and worse throughout the year. So they look at where you're going to be, and you tell them if you're claiming zero or one, whatever, for your filing status. And then they take where they think you're going to be. It's not always perfect. And then they average it out. So every paycheck pays the same amount of tax. The problem is
Gotcha.
they don't add the bonuses in. So then
Right.
your bonus comes in, and
Okay.
they're like, oh, whoops, what about that? We didn't average that out over every pay period over the calendar year. So that one gets whacked because it's coming in on top of you, what you've already averaged out, and they haven't done it for the
Got it.
bonus, generally speaking. Does
Okay.
that make sense?
Thank you. That's really helpful. Yes. I've always thought like, oh, bonuses just get taxed
Pay more tax.
50%
Everybody,
or
yeah, I've heard it
45%.
on like TikTok, and they're like, yeah, bonuses just pay more. And I'm like, no, they don't. But if you get a lot, it throws you into another bracket, and they haven't planned appropriately from a payroll
Right.
standpoint to average that out for you. Because what they could do is say, we're going to take more out of your paychecks. Let's say you get paid in June, your bonus. We'll say today's January. They would have taken more out of your regular paychecks every 2 weeks. And then when you got your bonus in June, it would be the same amount that you're losing on everything else. But no one does it that way because the bonuses are variable. So if you had prepaid your taxes on it for the first 6 months, and then let's say you didn't get it, that would be kind of crappy. So they just
Okay.
whack the bonuses as if they're a single pay.
Got it. Thank you. That was really helpful.
Yeah, I know. I hear that all the time. And we're like, I sat with a woman when I worked at Credit Suisse, and we got our bonuses. And she goes to me, like, did you get your bonus? And I was like, because everyone gets their bonus on the same day. And she's like, they told me I was going to get a certain number, and I got half. And I was like, she's like, I
Oh,
don't know.
you're
She,
like
yeah, she was, yeah. I was like, yeah, it was the taxes. She
government.
was like, yeah, she's like, yeah, because she was like, are we getting two? Like, do we get two deposits? And I'm like, no. And she's like, I'm missing half. And I'm like, taxes. They took the taxes. And she was like, that can't be right. And I was like, no, it is right. We're only getting one check, one
Oh
deposit.
man,
Because
that's a
it's
rude
like,
awakening.
it is. So anyway, so we'll use the 40%, which I think will be comprehensive of all the taxes, maybe a little over. So if we just take the 230 number, because that's what you're going to live on, the bonuses
Yep.
will come twice a year. So using 40%, so then we have to figure out the 401k, that would be 11,500 approximately net after everything, not including 401k.
Sorry. What, say that again? 11,000
1,500 monthly.
monthly. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, okay, got it. Monthly.
Yeah, monthly. And then I think we should max out the 401k because you're in a
Especially,
high
and
bracket.
I can get into like what I already have in a 401k, but I think it's pretty light considering my age and where I'd like to retire. So
Okay.
I should be contributing more going forward.
Yeah, plus you're in a high bracket. So it's a dollar for dollar reduction off of your taxable income. And while you may be in that same bracket in retirement, which would be a good problem to have, is what I tell people. If you're in a very high bracket in retirement, that's good. Probably you'll owe a little bit less in retirement
Yeah.
because you're in a high cost of living area and high tax state. So did you already contribute year to date? This is a question I actually might have to look up in your
Oh, how much
401k
I've
previously.
contributed so far?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. I didn't max it out, though, I don't think. Let me
This I haven't run into in a while.
like multiple jobs. Is this saying?
Multiple jobs. Yeah. Let me
Yeah.
see. I believe the limitation for the 401k is set. So it doesn't matter if you did it at your previous company or current company, you can only do 23,000 to
Yeah.
your plan. So do you know with your new company, is it going to be a percentage of your income or a dollar amount? It would be perfect if it was a percentage of your income because we just do 10%, which is 23,000, which is the exact limit.
I don't know that yet. I haven't
Okay.
the paperwork for that yet, so I'm not sure.
Well, it works out great because it's 10% of your base salary would be 23,000.
Okay. I found my contribution so far this year. It's 4,670.
So then, and you're going to start this. Oh, when is your start date?
My start date is May 28th.
Oh, nice. Okay. So let's just say we have 6 months. We have June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Also 7 months contributions. Do you want to like max out the limit for this year? Which we mean we put more in monthly. Okay. That would be what I would do if I were in your shoes. Okay. So then you will do like
at 5%. So
yeah, so you can do 18,000 give or take between June. So we have 7 months to do it, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So you would do approximately, I like round numbers. So like 2,500 a month.
Okay.
Into the 401k. And then you just have to switch it in January and lower it because you're putting in too much. So we just have to set like a calendar reminder so that you go back to, what would it be monthly? And it might be per paycheck, but I'm just giving you the monthly number. And then it would go to like 1900 a month starting in January because you have more time to contribute.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So then we'll get very close to maxing out the 401k for this year. And then I'm spending all of your money, FYI.
Rude.
I know. And then you're going to do the, so they're putting 750 in. So what do you want to put in the HSA?
That's a good question. It's a savings account. So I could use it next year. So
yeah, you never lose it. You can actually keep rolling it to retirement if you want to.
Right. I confuse that with FSA. So I guess like, I don't know, what would you recommend? I could put in like a decent amount because I know that I would like to get LASIK in the next year or so, but it could be in 2025. So, and I think that costs around like 3 to 5K, something like that. So it'd be good.
I was just like 500 a month.
Okay.
And then you could lower it in January again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That gets you 3,000. That should be your LASIK cost. And then lower it for next year. You'd lower it by, to 300. Okay. All right. So I just spent 3,000 of your take home, give or take. You won't feel it as much, right? Because of the, you're going to be saving on the taxes. So let's just say now you're going to bring in, you are going to save 30% on that. 4,200. So you won't miss 1,200 of it. So, and I'm also not an accountant, so I'm just ballparking this.
Yeah.
Probably miss 2,000. So you're probably going to be bringing in after everything around 9,500 a month.
Okay.
Not including bonuses. I like to leave, and everyone does everything differently, but I kind of like to leave the bonuses. They're variable, and then you get like a lump sum, and then you can do something with that when you get it. But then you're living off of your base salary, so you're not supporting yourself on the bonuses. And it could replenish like an emergency fund if something came up earlier that you needed money for. But we'll, try and live on that. So, okay. Now we estimate that on your 230 take home, we're going to max out the 401k in the remaining half of the year. And we're going to get pretty close to maxing out the HSA, especially because you're going to get money in there. So you'll have.
What is the maximum for an HSA for a year?
For 2024 is 4,150.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You said that earlier. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. It's okay. I was like, let me remember. So we'll get pretty close. Like, you're going to get pretty close with the, I don't know what the, you're going to get the company match in that or a company contribution, and you're going to put in 3,000, so you'll have 3,750 in there by the end of the year, which is great. And then we're going to have for the year, you're going to have put around 23,000 into the combined 401k, so your previous and your current.
Yes.
So you'll get close to the limit on that. And then we'll reduce your stuff, your contributions in January to account for the fact that you're going to have 12 months of contributions versus 6.
Yes.
Okay. So then we estimate, with me not being a tax professional, never wanting to be a tax professional.
Why not, Barbara?
It sounds I couldn't. I hate it. I can estimate it. I like tax strategy. And then I like to be like, here's what I'd like to do. Why don't you put it in your tax software and you confirm all the things? Okay. So we think we're going to bring in around 9,500, give or take a little, depending on how we estimate the taxes. And so your rent, I have monthly expenses because I have a spreadsheet here. I love a good spreadsheet. So I have monthly expenses being rent at $3,780, utilities and insurance at $200, and then entertainment travel, everything else is 4,000. So we'll just round that up to 8,000 a month.
Yeah, and also my rent, my lease comes up in November, and I would anticipate that that goes up like maybe 5% or something like that. So,
Okay. So we'll have about, give or take, but depending on my bad estimating for taxes, you'll have about a $1,500 buffer.
okay.
And that's not including any of the bonus, which your bonus is substantial.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about so saving. So I have you have no
Yeah.
debt.
I have no debt,
Amazing.
which is great. And I have actually quite a bit of cash right now. So one of my goals for this conversation was to figure out like how best to make that money make money on itself. Also known as investing, I guess. So I have my checking account is around 44,000. I have a savings account that I just checked and has a very low interest rate on it, so I should
Okay.
be move that. But it's there's $10,000 in that savings account, and then my combined 401ks from past jobs is about 55,000.
Okay.
And then I have stock from my previous company that I just left that is about 21,000, but it has a 35K cost basis, so it's gone, the value of that has gone down substantially. So I don't know if there's like tax advantages to just selling that and moving on. And then I also have an account of 145,000 basically. That
We are stockpiling cash over here.
yeah, so that
Okay.
is the majority of that is because of a large equity event from a previous employer. So I haven't really known what to do with that. And then when I got laid off, I kind of just wanted to have some additional
Buffer.
easy access, yeah, buffer. But that, I mean, obviously that's more buffer than I would really need. So yeah, I guess I don't know if this is common for your podcast, but I have quite a lot of like cash to move around, and would love to talk through how best to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so to confirm, we have around, give or take, around 200,000 in cash, and we add up.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to need to keep some for an emergency fund, buffer for savings, checking. But yeah, between checking, savings, and cash, we're like 199. We'll call it 200.
Yeah, plus like my monthly expenses, which I'm not starting my new job until about a
Yep,
month now.
a month. Okay, and then total in retirement between 401k. Stock is, am I accurate in saying 76 to get everything?
So the stock from my previous employer,
Oh,
that's not a
that's
retirement
just
account. That's just like value of that specific company's
specific
stock
company. Got it. Okay, let me
as
take
of
that out.
yesterday when I pulled this.
Okay, so
So
55,000 for retirement, and then we have the stock position. Wow, so that went down a lot, the stock position.
yes.
It still has a good value. I mean, it would be better if it was up, but you could take a tax loss on it.
That's what
How
I
long
was
have you
at. That
held
was
it?
my question.
Yeah.
Not all of it has been a year. So like it,
That's
cause I was vesting on a monthly basis. So,
okay.
some of it is a year, but not all of
Okay. The year is more important when you're selling at a profit because the taxation type.
got it. Got it.
Yeah. So here's the two options, right? You can wait for it to get better and try and sell it closer to even. I don't think there's any reason to wait to get to a profit, right? Like if you could get it close to even, you still would have very little tax, right? To where the
Yes,
cost
yeah.
basis is. So you could wait and say, I want to get it close to even, or there's nothing wrong. And it's actually usually a better strategy to cut your losses and say, it hasn't performed. I don't think it's, I don't know this company. I didn't work for the company. I don't think it's going to perform. I'm going to take my tax loss, get it on paper, right? Because right now, or it's called booking a tax loss. Right now, your loss is on paper. You can't use it against any taxable income because it's you haven't solidified the loss by this by doing the sale. So.
Right. So I do think in the next month or two, there's some like activity that I think is going to happen that might put it closer to the value it was when I vested. So it might be worth waiting like a month or two,
Yeah.
but after that, I should just sell it probably. And
Put in something different.
because it also like I always think of that as just like extra, like
Right.
it's the same as a bonus, right? Like any sort of stock there. So it's not like I paid for it to begin with, but that's kind of my mentality about it. So
I
if that.
would do a calendar reminder so you like remember, don't, because it's so easy to forget about these things, I think.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. So I would just set a reminder, see where it is. And then my personal take on it is might as well get out of it where you don't have a tax hit because you are in a high tax bracket. Capital gains, yes, are more advantageous than your ordinary income bracket, still taxed. So if you can get out for like nothing, that's great. Or have a little bit
Yeah.
of a tax loss. But yeah, might as well wait a little bit and see what happens.
Okay, cool.
My personal opinion and not tax advice.
Yes, got it.
Okay, so yeah, you do have a lot of cash. My take on things would be going forward, keep maxing out the 401k, especially because you have that 5% match. And the 5%, is it 5% of your base salary or 5% of your contribution?
Good question.
They always make the 401k matches a little complicated to understand.
I'm not actually seeing it in my offer letter. It was in my, but I ha sorry, I got like an email verbal offer, or that's what you called it, verbal, even though it's
Yeah.
email. But
Usually
I
they're like
my
percentages. Like if you do a percent, they do a
normal.
percent
Yeah,
up to a cap.
it's just in my notes from when I spoke with the recruiter. So I'm just looking to see if it's in this benefits guide, but.
I don't think it's 5% of what you contribute. So if it was like 5% of your
Yeah, it
contribution.
must be up to 5% of my salary. I can't
Yeah.
imagine it would be.
Yeah, because that would be like 1100. So one would be like
Yeah.
11,000, one would be 1100. So let's hope it's the 11,000.
I will make sure that I have clarity on that.
Yeah, an easy way to get clarity, I like to give an example because sometimes they just repeat back to you what's in the language of it. And the language sometimes isn't that easy to interpret. So I'd be like, if I was making 100,000 and maxing it out at the IRS limit, do I get 5%
23.
of that? Yeah, do I get 5% of 100,000, which is 5,000 a year, or do I get like how do they do it? So I would just
And can they contribute? So, like, the maximum for the year is 23,000, right? So,
That's for
let's
you.
say that's just for me. So, my employer can contribute an ad whatever additional on top of that, and
Correct.
that doesn't work
So
at 23,000.
yeah. So the way it works is a 401k is a defined contribution plan in terms of the tax code, and defined contribution plans for 2024 have a limit of, I believe it's $69,000 total allowable dollars. If you think about it as a bucket, that's like the most that can go in the bucket. So the
Got
way
it.
That the money's broken up is 23,000 is your limit as the employee. Then there's the employer contribution. And then the difference, which is worth actually asking if this is available. We'll get you set up first and then we'll see how it goes with the bonuses. So maybe this is like a next year thing. But then the difference, so let's just say you're putting in 23,000. Let's just say the company's going to put in 10,000 because they're generous. So your combined amount is, we have 33,000 a year going in. The company matches are almost always pre-tax as well because they get a tax benefit for doing it. But then the IRS limit for dollars allowed in this defined contribution bucket 69K. Is 69,000. Right. So the difference between what you put in and your employer puts in is 36,000 we have left in our bucket. Mm-hmm. And that often, if it's available, people put in as a non-deductible contribution. So an after-tax contribution, not a Roth, after-tax. And then if the plan allows, you do what's called an in-plan conversion and you convert the non-deductible after-tax into a Roth. And that's called a mega backdoor Roth. Well, that's what some people call it. You call it whatever you want. But because people always think that if it's after tax, it has to be Roth. And after tax is actually just you get no deduction, but the Roth vehicle is separate. So you have to put it in this way and then convert it into the Roth. It's like a two-step transaction.
And
basically.
Are there fees or what happened? Or like, what does it cost to convert it into a Roth?
Actually, costs nothing. It should go, but here's the trick. When you put it in, it should go in as cash into your 401k as a non-deductible, not invested. And then it should be immediately converted or converted shortly into your Roth. And then once it's in the Roth, it can be invested. But the problem is if you put it in here and you put an S&P 500, let's just say it stays there for a week and has a great week and it makes money. Now we have gains, which haven't been taxed. Yeah. So then you're converting it, and now you're converting the money that hadn't been taxed. We'll just say it's 10,000. Now we have 1,000 of gains. So we have $1,000 that are going to be taxed for the conversion as ordinary income. So it gets a little messy that way. Not impossible, but messy. So the goal is that if you put 10,000 as the non-deductible, that 10,000 is converted. And then over here, it's invested while it's sheltered as a Roth.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. And then also if you have those gains, that's more short-term taxes that you have to pay.
If you didn't do it, yeah, if it got invested, yeah, that would be more taxes you have to pay. Exactly. Right. Which would be big for you. So like, let's say it wasn't going the way it was supposed to, and you're doing this and you end up having another $12,000 on top of your income.
Right. Okay. Cool.
And I will say that tech plans often have this type of I call it like a fancy 401k where they have all three money types and have an in-plan conversion feature.
In-plan conversion. That's converting to the Roth. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like ways you can do it without doing it inside of the plan. I like doing it in the plan. And often when you work for a tech company, they have the feature. So like, I like to keep things simple.
Okay.
So something to investigate when you get in there. And it's something to use. What I say to people is not often do 401ks have all of these capacity, like all these features. And the reason why is because a defined contribution plan has to pass ACP and ADP testing to meet the requirements determined by the IRS. Everything's under ERISA protection. And they have these rules that are to protect the employees to make sure the plan wasn't really just developed and only helping the high up people at the company. So there's all these testing rules to make sure that it's not just for highly comped individuals, that everybody has access to it and it's benefiting everybody. It's not just designated for like the top tier. And so it is very rare that you have all three money types because it makes it much harder for the plan to pass testing, and it makes the company have to contribute a significant amount more for all employees to pass testing. So what you find often in non-tech companies is they don't offer this because it's a huge obligation from a contribution standpoint, and not every company can afford to do it. But when you get the tech companies where everyone's highly comped, they tend to have these super fancy plans with really great matching. And matching from a standpoint of it's not even that you have to contribute, but they give you more of like a profit share, right? Like you get automatic contributions into your 401k. It wouldn't surprise me if given the match that you're getting and that you immediately get it when you start working, that they might have this functionality on their plan as well.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Now, so the cash.
Yeah. So I think also I would say like my, because I've had this as cash for, you're going to be mad when I tell you this, for like at least a year, maybe a year and a half. And it's just been like kind of sitting there. So
is it a high yield savings?
No, it's not.
Oh no.
It's just in like a Schwab account. Okay. So yes, that's right. That's just like, Barbara's going to be mad. This is not future rich approved. The part of why I've done that is just like, I've thought about doing some sort of investment property, potentially like a rental property or something like that. And so I would, you know, probably use that for all or part of the down payment. Mm-hmm. I guess knowing that I might want to do that in the next year or so, what's the best way to invest that, or invest part of it and save part of it, put it in savings or something like that, so that it is fairly flexible to be able to take out for a down payment.
So I'm not mad, given that you had the idea that it was earmarked for another investment, it shouldn't be in the market. Like if you, your time horizon, if it's like, in my opinion, if it's like under three to 4 years, it's pretty risky to put it in, because okay, if you had it in, you know, and the market takes a tumble, you could potentially only have 20% less for your down payment, which is substantial, right? Yeah. So what I would like to see you do is to put it in high yield savings, where you're like, shop around and see if you can get the best one. There are still some rates for 5%. Even if you do a 12-month CD for 5%, you could always break the CD, but you're not going to lose the principal amount. Like if you found an investment property, you could break your CD and you're not going to have that market risk, which can, because everyone's like, oh, well, it'll make more in the market. And then like for the amount that it can go up, it can also go down double, right? So
yeah,
I would figure out what you think you would want for the down payment. And I think that's better served in like CDs and high yield savings, because you're going to make a really nice return with very little risk. Like if you're making 5% on that, that's a good return for no risk, right? Like,
yeah,
the money's still there. You're making 5%. As long as you think that's something you're going to do in the near term, you're going to keep accruing cash. So here's what I would say. I would get all the cash making 5%, even if you have to do short-term CDs to do that. A little bit of work, mm-hmm. but you can do that all online. And then when you start getting these bonuses and you're accruing more cash, then the bonuses get invested.
Okay. I guess the other question is like, I'm not positive I'm going to...
I know that was going to be to do the real estate thing.
Yeah. So like, should I put a portion of that? Like,
yeah. So maybe we
into like a fund or something like that.
Yeah. So if we're not sure we're going to do it, you could take 50 and invest it. And then you still have, that would seed like a brokerage account, right? An investment account, do 50,000, right? You would still mm-hmm. have an ample amount of cash for a, you still need an emergency fund, right? We, as we all know, we yeah. need emergency funds. And then you still have enough cash for a partial down payment, if that happens. I guess that's the hard part that I can't answer. It's like, how likely is this to happen? Like how actively are you searching? Right.
Yeah. I mean, certainly you can't answer it if I can't answer it that well.
I'm on the fence between doing 50 to 70,000, taking 50% of it. Because if it's like I'm casually looking, if the right house comes up, I would do it. But also if the market's terrible, I'll just not do it either. Right. Like, so yeah. It depends on how sold you are on executing this.
Well, and I think I could also, instead of investing those bonuses when they come, I could put that towards the down payment, yeah. like depending on
what's going on. Correct.
It looks like, so maybe it's better to invest a little bit more, like more towards and the 70K.
Dollar cost average. You don't need to put it all in on the same day. You could like seed your investment with 35 and then every month do 5,000, 10,000 and work your way up if you want.
What would be the benefit to that?
So the benefit to that is technically your dollar cost averaging, you're getting different price points. Sometimes it will work for you, meaning that the market goes down in the near term, so you're buying a bit cheaper. Mm. What I will say is, because it's not an extended period of time, if you're doing it over 6 months, it, in my opinion, it's really like, will it work out better or will it not? So if you put in 30, the market goes skyrockets, does really well, you're gonna be like, well, I wish I put the whole 70 in, right? If the market goes down, you'll be like, thank goodness, I'm getting better pricing now. So I hate to say the market's a crapshoot. It's a little bit of a crapshoot.
Well, especially in this, like,
in this environment,
like some time frames that we're talking about too. It's like a year,
correct?
You know, whatever.
Yeah. So you could seed it with the majority of it. So let's say if we're between 50 and 70, you could put 40, 45 in, leave a little on the sidelines and say, I'll put a little bit more in over the next couple of months, see how the market does.
Right. Plus, if I end up selling this stock from my previous employer,
that would get go in there too. Yep. Yeah. So then that gets you, if you think about it from that standpoint, that stock will get diversified, which is probably better long term. You work for the company, right? If you don't think this is going to be like a big winner. And then we put another 70 in. So then you'll get yourself close to 100,000 in a brokerage account. This actually came up on our last podcast. If you listened, so when this airs, these will be near each other as episodes. But the one thing I like to remind people, and I don't know that I brought it up a lot in over the years, is that when you have a brokerage account, and let's say you put 100, at the end of the year, you have $100,000 in it, right? That is a tangible asset, just like real estate. You can borrow against that. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Like if I needed a loan to buy a big
It's more just like optionality. It's just like when people say like, well, the benefit of having a house is you can always borrow against it because it's a real asset. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, but so are investments. You can borrow against your investments. You only do so if the interest rate makes sense and there's a reason to do it, right? And the reason you do it is because, let's say the investments are doing really, really well. You have a bonus coming. They've already told you it's coming. And you need the down payment money and you don't want to sell everything because it's all done really well. You're going to get crushed with taxes and you know you have $30,000 going to be in deposit, but you need it now. You could do a loan against your investments at that point. And they don't loan the whole amount, just like nobody's going to loan you the whole amount on anything, but they loan you a percentage of the value of the portfolio for a set. It's a floating rate interest rate, just like a floating rate you would get on a home equity. But I just like to remind people that like that's an option. You don't have to sell the whole thing. You could always borrow against it. And that eliminates the tax ramifications, right? Because it's just an interest.
That's what all these billionaires do.
That's what everyone else does.
Elon Musk
Correct.
On Twitter, right?
Correct. You borrow. You don't buy. You don't sell. You borrow.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm saying that is because you could invest all this money, and if this is going really well at your new job and these bonuses are coming every 6 months and you find a property you like, you don't have to sell all your positions to do the down payment.
Got it.
You could be strategic and say, I'd rather have interest. Yeah, I don't want to pay it, but I'm going to pay it for 12 months. I'm going to write it off, right? And I'm going to keep my winning position.
3% interest rate is better. Sorry to speak over you, but 3% interest rate would be better than paying like a higher capital gains.
Correct. And it probably won't be 3%, probably 7%, where we are now. But 7% is still less than a 20% capital gain.
Okay.
Right? Especially if you know you're going to be coming into cash.
Got it. Okay.
So it would be a short term, you would understand what am I going to be spending to borrow? And that's a decision based on, you know, I don't want to pay 20% in capital gains, nor do I want to sell the position and try and get back in. I want to keep it. And then I'm going to take 12 months. I'm going to pay interest, but I can float that with my monthly expenses. And then when I get the rest of the cash, I'll pay off my loan on my investments. But yes, people don't realize it's a viable option. So I like to say that it is.
Yes. Good call out. Thank you.
Start with 50, get it up to 70 from the cash, when you decide to sell the company stock, add that in, and then you'll have a nice investment account.
Okay. And when you say with the 50, like I should just put that in sort of like low cost funds.
I can't say that.
Okay.
I don't give investment advice.
Right. Because an SEC violation, right?
Well, I can give you advice. I just don't want it on the, because we have disclaimers, but I don't want people listening and saying like, oh, well, she said Blair should do this, so I should do this. So I try to keep it very vague. And so what I would say is you want to invest in things that you understand. You want to make sure that they're diversified. You also want to make sure when you open the account as a single person or any person, really, you want to make sure you have a beneficiary on that account that's going to be a large asset.
Right. Yeah.
So we want to make sure we add a beneficiary to it. And then, you want to pick some investments you like. And I would say at your age, similar to my age, you want to be aggressive. So the goal is to not be conservative, right? We have cash that long over 30 years isn't going to get you where you want to be. So we want to be aggressive with the investments, but I would say you want name brands that are diversified, and you want to know what you own. So
okay,
those are like my tips for like how to be a prudent investor. And I guess the other thing I will say is we are not daily investors, right? So we're buying something. So if it has a bad year, that's fine. Oh, yeah. You're in this for 30 years, right? We want to stick with it. Don't get out when it gets bad. That's the time we want to stay.
Totally. If you can't tell from my habits that I've already described, I'm kind of a leave it and forget it type, which is, you know, very, that's coming from a place of privilege that I'm able to do that too. But
cool. And that'll be good for investing, because the things that I think screw people up the most with investing is when they tinker with things too much. You know, they're like, oh, I'm going to get out and then I'm going to get back next Wednesday because it's going to be great that day or whatever day it is.
Right, right.
Never goes well. I haven't seen it go well. So he's like, put it in, leave it alone. Yeah. And then
we're not day trading.
Yeah, we're not day trading. We're not definitely not doing that. And then we'll do the 401k, the HSA, and then we'll let everything keep cooking.
Cool. Okay. Great.
Does that sound good? Do you have any other questions?
No, I don't think so. Hopefully this was helpful for others that are listening as well.
Yeah. Well, we love to go over employee benefits. We do this a lot. I would love if you let me know, like, if I was close on the tax estimation. Not that I ever want to be taxed, but I'd be curious. Well, congratulations on the new job. I'm very excited. We're going to be maxing out both the 401k and the HSA. We're pretty close. And then we'll get you an investment account and then maybe an investment property.
Cool.
Thanks for coming on the show and letting me spend all of your money.
Yeah. thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of our lovely listeners, if you like the show, please subscribe and share with a friend. And you can follow us on Instagram for our most up-to-date information.
Yes, leave a good review.
Yes, leave a good review, please. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.